I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and barmates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplish something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders.
Balloonists.
Bobsledders.
And big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fella the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
Here we go. Let's get these questions from the DMs.
Yep.
All right, well, that's what I heard. So what do you want to tell you?
Hello and welcome to That's What I Heard. How we feeling? Another solo ep for the day. My big news of the week, I have been radicalized. I am anti-president.
Scandalous.
I am not like a specific president. This is not political. It's not. I don't care who's in the office. I'm anti the president.
You're anti the office.
I'm anti the office of the presidency.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm ready. That is radical.
I'm ready to join a militia.
So what would that cause be?
I'm just against presidential motorcades,
right.
Period. The president should not be leaving the White House except by helicopter,
right,
or plane. You cannot be driving through the streets. Let me explain what happened. Yeah. Let me explain what happened to me. Okay. The injustice. All the injustices in the world. This is the one I'm fucking mouthing off about.
I'd be mad too.
So yesterday, my mom had another surgery for her cancer. Not as intense. It was like a much of a less one. So it wasn't as big of a deal as the first surgery. But I was going to meet her. She was driving with her man. And I was going to meet them at the hospital and just sit and wait while she got the surgery. So I leave at an appropriate time. Mike, one thing you know about me, am I ever late?
Never.
Never. I make sure I leave.
You're never on time.
I'm never on time. I'm early. Okay. This is the PA in me.
Yes.
I have a sick, sick disease of earliness.
Yeah. You're on Frex time.
I leave. What I'm saying is I don't goof around. I leave time to get places.
Yeah.
Okay. I leave time for the unexpected to occur.
Mm-hmm.
The train to stall, whatever. Anyways. So I go. I take the L in. I hop on the bus. Okay. First mistake. Now, I'm not like, I understand there's traffic. This is New York City. I'm not mad about traffic. Okay. But it's so backed up because I didn't know the president was in town yet, but I'm like, we're crawling down the street. The bus driver starts just opening the doors in the middle of the street and people are filing out. So I file out, I start running up, running. So at this point, it's 15 minutes after the surgery was supposed to happen. My mom had to get out of the car, had to get out of the car at the 59th Street Bridge and run with all these incisions in her body.
Oh, God.
Run to the hospital to make this surgery. And they weren't even going to let her through. Okay. So they have the entire York Avenue barricaded off for cars, obviously, but also for pedestrians. Nobody for any reason can cross the street outside of the fucking hospitals. Now you have two hospitals over there. You have Sloan Kettering, New York Presbyterian. Did I say New York Pescatarian?
That sounded like it, yes. Yeah.
No, New York Presbyterian. Okay.
Very different thing. New York Pescatarians.
So they were at, when my mom arrived, they were like just locking down the pedestrian aspect. And she goes, I'm 71 years old. I just ran. I'm injured, essentially. Mm-hmm. I'm sick. I have cuts all over my body. I just ran from the fucking bridge. And my surgery started 15 minutes ago. And I'm walking. Like, I have to get there.
Yeah.
And they go, okay, you could go. And then that was it. No one else allowed. By the time I get there, now I start creating a narrative in my head, right? So I start giving the stakes that maybe it didn't need to have. So I'm running to the hospital. And in my head, I'm going, if I don't get there before she goes into surgery and I don't get to say goodbye, mm-hmm. what if something happens in surgery?
Oh, well, why wouldn't you think that?
So these are the stakes I'm giving.
Yes.
I'm saying, like, I might miss my goodbye.
And you're 100% right to give it those stakes.
Am I? Or yes. Am I being crazy?
No, you're 100%. It's surgery. It's invasive surgery. You never know.
Plus, she told me, she's like, I'm running. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, so your heart, you might have a heart attack
on the table. Absolutely.
Like, you're not healthy right now. You shouldn't be fucking running. Like, she could barely walk. So how she was running, I don't know.
Yeah.
She might have been lying. I don't know. I'm like, are you really running? Yeah. Come on. What's the real deal?
Yeah.
Okay. So by the time I fucking turn, I'm running. She goes, so she's in, and I'm having this vision play out in my head. If something happens and I missed it and I missed seeing her before she went in, I'm going to be so angry. Okay. So then I'm at the corner for the hospital. I go, I have to get to the hospital. And they go, yeah, you and everyone else. And then there's these big crowds forming. It looks like the fucking Hunger Games. It looks like District 12. This guy's going, I got a fucking colostomy bag in me. I got my chemo appointment right across. It's right there. Just let me walk across the street to go. They go, I'm sorry. Like, the president's coming up the street. So they had probably 30 blocks, the whole east side on York Avenue was in this condition because Biden flew in. Let's not call him Biden. The president.
The
president. This is not personal to Biden because I know they don't make.
The enemy of cancer patients everywhere.
Yes. The president. No matter who sits in the office, the president is the enemy. Okay. So he flew into the heliport or whatever downtown. So that fucks downtown.
Yeah.
He came up the east side. So that fucks the east side. Went across town. So that fucks the crosstown midtown.
Right.
Went to the west side, so that fucks the west side. So that's the whole city fucked.
Yeah.
So, and look, I'm not mad because I was inconvenienced. I'm mad because it just seems like drive up Second Avenue.
Right.
This is where all the hospitals are. They're, like when I was a PA. Okay. So I'm mixing up my stories now.
Yeah.
But so I'm standing there and
you're flustered.
And I'm going, if this was on video, I could have gone viral. I'm going, are you fucking? Then I start saying, I have a surgery, even though I don't.
Yeah.
But I'm like panicking. I'm going, I have a fucking surgery. I have a fucking. And they're like, everyone here has a surgery they have to get to.
That's such a wild thing to say.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And then there's people with their kids. There's people in wheelchairs, people that work in the hospital. And then I'm seeing doctors, but then they're telling the doctors, they're like, there's an underground tunnel you could find to go across the street.
Oh, good.
And they're like, great. Thanks. Thanks. Where?
You could find it.
Where? Okay.
Right. Oh, that's right. I forgot about the underground.
Yeah, let me Google
tunnel.
That. I forgot. What? They're going, I don't know about that. Yeah. So how am I supposed to get across to see my patients? Anyway, and this wasn't, by the way, this wasn't 5 minutes. This wasn't, hey, just give it a minute. Just be patient. They go, it should be over in about 15 minutes. It was 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. So this isn't like a short amount of time.
Right.
And I'm not trying to be like, oh, just because I was inconvenienced. It's not an inconvenience. It just felt like life and death stakes. And so inappropriate to block the hospitals. Because when I was a PA, this is what I was going to say. When I was a PA, obviously it's a little different, but they would yell, nobody stops the mail. So like, because, you know, you come in, you kind of take over an area. You're locking up streets. You don't have the legal right to say you can't walk down the street. But you say to people, I'd really appreciate it if you wouldn't mind just using the other side of the street. Thank you so much. Most people are fine with it. Some people are like, oh, fuck yourself. And there's nothing you could do. You can't stop them. Yeah. You go, and to you as well.
Right.
And that's okay. Like, I get it. Like, you know, some people are like, I'm not having this. I don't care that you're filming Step Up 3D.
Right.
Okay. Like, I got to go. Right. And I completely respect that. People got to get to work. People got to get their kids. Yeah. People got to do shit. Yeah. Like, I totally get that. But there was always a saying, nobody stops the mail. So if there was like a mail person coming, they would stop the filming. The mail's got to go through. Like the little postal person with the little pushy cart. Mm-hmm. Nobody stops the mail.
Of course.
And of course, that goes without saying. Nobody stops an ambulance. Right. You're not stopping an ambulance for a film shoot.
Right,
like,
of course.
Like that goes without saying. Yeah. But the mail was like, the mail is above us. We don't stop the mail.
Right.
Now, why is there not something like nobody stops the hospitals, life and death?
You know, it's funny. I had never even thought about this.
Me either. And now ever. I'm radicalized.
Yeah. Well, because it is fucked up, man. Like, and I don't know if you wanted to reveal it yourself, but like the reason he was in town was for fundraising shit.
Oh,
right.
That and the plot thickens. So right. Then, of course, you could say in your mind, you know what? Okay. Look, maybe he's at the UN.
Right.
We have wars going on.
Right.
He's probably making the wrong decision at the UN, doing something stupid that I also don't agree with. He'd probably be doing something stupid, but at least it's his. At least he's like on the clock or something.
Yeah.
Then I Google it. No. Three fundraising things.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, so this is completely optional. You're just meeting with rich people. You're doing it on their schedule that's convenient for them. Because the other option is do this on the weekend.
Right.
The second option would be fly from building to building, because they do have helicopter shit on top of certain buildings.
Right.
Now, God forbid you work in one of those buildings. You're like, I can't get down for lunch.
Yeah, right.
Or like, because if you land on the top of a building, then what do you have to do? How do you get down? I guess a big elevator.
Yeah, but you're saying like if he was going, let's be honest.
You cannot stop
he's going
New York City.
Fundraising.
Or the Upper West Side, Upper East Side.
You could probably fly from place to place and then just like be in the building and then fly and then get out of there, I would think. That's what the fucking guys on Wall Street do.
Yeah.
Jamie Dimon takes they get a helicopter to the every day to work.
That's how they get to the Hamptons.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, it's possible.
I know it's possible. And I'm furious that this is, I'm just mad.
You have every right to be mad. Did your mom make it to surgery?
So here's how it all went down. So then I'm bugging. Everyone else is bugging, by the way. Like, and just to reiterate, like, it doesn't matter if you like this particular president or not. Just the circumstances of like the visual of like you're 20 feet from a life-saving procedure.
Yeah.
Now, here's the question. Maybe I'm being too dramatic, because would they have stopped an ambulance? I don't know, because I didn't see. But it's like, what if an ambulance had to get through? Would they have moved the barricades? I don't know.
But is it really any worse than telling somebody that's late for surgery that they can't go into the building?
I don't. Yes.
Like,
because
what
if
happens
someone's,
if you miss your surgery? Like,
exactly. That was what it was like. What does happen?
I would assume at a certain point that the hospital probably knows something.
Well,
but
once it started to look like ghost town in there, they start going, what's going on outside?
Right.
And then everyone's coming in tears, verklempt. Right. Did I miss it? Right. Am I going to die?
Right. Quite literally.
So what happened? Okay. So first, also the cops hate Biden. So people are mouthing off to the cops going, this is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard of in all of my New York years.
Yeah.
In my 35 New York winters that I've, 36 New York winters.
Yeah.
I have not heard of something so fucking dumb as people can't get into the hospital.
Yeah.
Now, so people were very mad. And then the cops are going, I don't fucking like this guy. I don't give a shit. So one of the cops are going, yeah, you know, this old fuck's got to get up and get the money. You know, when this motorcade comes through, there's going to be like five ambulances because he's so fucking old. And I'm like, okay, bro. I don't know. Then the other funny thing was some people were yelling, fuck Biden. Okay.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about where we are in this moment in our country is that you don't know if that's someone on the left or on the right, because the right has gone so far right that they're left. And
right.
The left has gone so far left that they are right. So we have the alt-left and the alt-right
right.
joining for a glorious moment in history
yeah.
to yell, fuck Biden, and you actually don't know what they're mad about.
It's true. Yeah, honestly. It doesn't... oh, my God.
Insane.
It's quite insane.
And anyway. Then the idea... Just with the way things are right now, do they not know that people are, it's not like the old days where it's like, we're going to go down to see the president.
Yeah.
The president's in town.
Right.
We're going to put on our dress and go down to see the president.
Right.
It's not like, you know, the way that, like, do the communications people or whoever really think that people are excited to see the president?
It's such a great question. And I can't imagine that they would think so, because if you watch any of these town halls, it doesn't, there's no like,
so like, oops, my bad. Everyone's so mad.
No, when Kennedy was running for office, it was like, like you said, everybody wanted to go downtown and like shake the president's
see the president.
Hand and like whatever. Yeah. I think everybody now would just like wants to know like why inflation's going up and why they can't get a job or
why they can't get surgery.
Yeah. Right. Cause they can't get surgery. Right.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. And then so imagine being the president inside of his little car, which I actually looked up like the mechanics of the motorcade. We're going to go over it.
Okay, great.
imagine being the little president inside his little car, driving up the road, seeing all these people lined up and going, they're here for me to see the president. And it's like, no, they can't get to chemo. They're waiting to get to chemo.
Yeah.
They can't cross the street.
Right.
But then imagine he's like, drives by waving.
Hey, man.
We love America. And everyone's like,
middle class.
Fuck you, dude. Although I will say this, as mad as people were, like I was watching this one little lady in a wheelchair who was like all fucked up. When the president finally did come by, she was like, yeah, like waving. Yeah. Like people got their phones out, me included.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, the
so
president.
Wait, hold on. You got your phone.
So I went from being like, I will join a militia to, oh, there's the president. Isn't that
come on, Frank.
I had never seen the president before. And then I guess I did feel a little bit like, oh, I had never seen the president before.
So and what? How are you feeling in that moment? It washes away and you're just kind of like, all right, well, my mom's about
well,
to go
so
to
there
surgery.
Was,
but Biden's there.
It was such it was such a slow burn that it was so anticlimactic. Because I'm not kidding. Like 20 to 30 minutes this was going on for. And there was a thing came through that we thought was the motorcade. And the cop goes, here it is. And we go, great. So it's almost over. And that wasn't the real motorcade. It was like the pre.
A decoy?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was like the pre.
Uh-huh.
And then... another 15 minutes go by. Then when you finally get the real motorcade, you go, okay, can we? And then, so the motorcade clears. People start going, he's gone. Can we pass now? He's gone.
Yeah.
And then the cops are going, I wish, if it was up to me, of course, but I got to wait till they say open the street. And then it's like, people down there are crossing. It was literally like District 12 Hunger Games. Like the swell of people going, just started to scream and just behave badly going, they're crossing down there. You better let me through, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, so finally they go, okay, you could go. And then, of course, stampede. And here's where I go, oh, I'm the problem too. I go, I can't wait. I can't just be patient. So I crawl under the barricade, lose my hat, of course. And like I come up and this guy just looks at me and goes, really? Really, guys? We can't be patient? I go, okay, well, nice of you to have such low stakes in your life.
Right.
I have high stakes right now.
Right. Yeah.
And then I book it. And then my thing with going to the hospital is I pretend I'm a doctor because there's a long security line, which I foolishly waited on the first time. And then like this whole concept of checking in. As soon as I realized, oh, you could just pretend you're a doctor.
Yeah.
Walk with full confidence in a pea coat. Full confidence.
Never get stopped.
Check the phone like this. Like I'm emailing someone.
Yeah. It doesn't matter that you're not wearing scrubs. They don't care.
No. Pea coat will do. Doctors wear pea coats. Doctors wear pea coats. And I just walk right by the security line, right by everything.
Great.
Right to my elevator, right upstairs. Boom. And I made it. She wasn't in. So I went and I sat with her.
Okay.
And then, fantastic experience with the surgeon is amazing. Her staff is amazing. My faith in medicine is renewed. they're like, I wouldn't call them like, well, did you listen to the last week episode? No.
Well, but that hypochondria is different than, you know, faith and medicine.
They were fantastic. These, I don't really want to call them like young women because I don't know how old they are, but they're like around my, well, I'm not a young woman, so we don't know what to call them. Maybe a woman around my age.
Grown woman.
Middle-aged?
Grown?
Are we middle-aged women?
I think middle age starts at like 40. I think your 30s are...
Well, they were just really great and I had full faith in them.
Yeah.
Funny, like smart surgeons. We love that. So the presidential motorcade, I know you guys need to know this, has around 50 vehicles and the president's car is called the Beast. $1.5 million car.
What's in it?
I didn't look. It's bulletproof.
Gotta be bulletproof.
Bombproof.
Yeah.
So then also in the motorcade, you have the ID car, which liaises with other agencies. The Roadrunner Mobile is the communication center. And the Hazardous Materials Mitigation Unit is ready to respond to chemical, biological, or nuclear attacks. The U.S. Secret Service Countermeasures Suburban can reportedly jam any remote explosives through two antennas, sending out a huge range of radio frequencies that lock bomb activation signals. It also has an electronic warfare sensors that can detect if an RPG or anti-missile tank is launched.
Wow.
Three separate SUVs follow. In the middle is the control car with the president's doctor. On either side, there are two other SUVs with open rearview windows in case the occupants need to open fire quickly. The halfback SUV is prepared to defend the Beast, while the cat car SUV is there to fight any insurgents. Now, whatever happens to just letting the president get shot? Didn't we used to just let the presidents get shot?
This
is a
twice.
Lot to defend the insurgents.
Yeah.
To defend against the missiles.
It is interesting.
It's a lot.
Because when you go back and you watch what happened to Kennedy, there really wasn't. There's a couple guys walking next to the car.
There's nothing.
He was just in a convertible. You know what
They're
I mean?
They're like, have at it.
But I think, you know, once that happens, they all of a sudden say, like, maybe we need to put, RPG-seeking antennas in this car.
The Hazardous Materials Mitigation Unit.
Yeah.
Imagine.
I can't imagine being the president and having to go through that anytime you want to go anywhere. You know?
But you know they don't do that for everything. Like, there's all these stories about presidents, like, sneaking out to McDonald's and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure...
They just take their best boy and...
But I think it's different when, like, it's going to be, like, news that you're going to be in town.
Right. So if you're here for fundraising, why not make it news? How about that? Why all the pomp and circumstance pissing everyone off? Because I'll tell you, I'm sure, like, I mean, I voted for Biden. Like, I'm sure a lot of those people... And I cursed that man's name.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of the other people did. Like, he might have lost my vote.
Well, did he though, really?
I don't know. We'll see.
This is the thing. The alternative right now is like, you know, you're really going to vote for what?
I don't know.
All right, so here's the thing. What would Biden have to do for you to be like, all right, I'm voting for Trump. Fuck it.
Because I think he already
obviously
did it.
This was bad. Really?
No, but I wouldn't. Okay. Sorry. If I didn't vote for Biden, that doesn't mean I would vote for Trump. I just wouldn't vote.
You just would say.
Or I would vote for Marianne Williams.
Okay. Right.
But I would never
vote for
Trump.
I know you were flirting with anyway.
I think Trump, we can't live in a society with that level of dysfunction.
Yeah,
we can't. It's just not.
Yeah. But so that's the thing. You kind of put Biden.
And Biden almost killed my mom. So how am I supposed to pick between these two people?
Biden affected you directly.
Biden has really upset me.
Yeah.
Then I start. I get on Instagram. I start like just ranting, tagging POTUS, tagging the White House.
Yeah.
Like. Stream of consciousness posting, no periods, misspellings. Probably looked like I was in a manic episode.
It probably did look that way.
You think so?
A little bit. I mean, like, I think that...
When you saw it, did you think, is she okay?
Well, I thought... I wanted to know if you were okay because I wanted to know if your mom got the surgery.
Oh, yeah, yeah, she got it.
I mean, like, it's more like... I don't know who's monitoring the POTUS accounts or whatever, but...
Well, they didn't say seen, I'll tell you that much. Because you know I checked.
I think after
they
a
left
while,
me on
though,
red.
When you do see somebody, you know, who knows how people can see this shit is all. I'm
oh,
saying.
But of course. Yeah, I mean, yeah. But then I did an apology post.
Right.
But then I took back the apology because I got mad again.
Right.
So I'm all over the place with this.
Yeah, you really ran the gamut.
Well, he really bothered me. His behavior really bothered me.
I think it's a fair thing to get upset over.
But then it's like, well, it's the president. What do you expect? But it's not. I guess I've said this a million times, but I'm going to say it again. It's not because there was traffic. And it's not because I was inconvenienced. Like, I've been in traffic before, and I've been mad, and it's not a pain that stays with you. It's not a rage you remember. You're just mad for a second, then you go, okay, moving on.
Right.
This just seems so gratuitously stupid that I'm going to remember this for a long time.
Yeah.
And that is why I've decided to vote for Howard Dean.
Yeah!
Yow! Yow! Oh, oh, oh! I'm getting mad again.
Thinking about it?
Yeah. I got made fun of by the staff. I brought my own wheelchair up, and they thought that I had brought it from home.
Yeah.
But I took it from downstairs. Because I thought, like, when it was time to take my mom home, last time I took her out in my own wheelchair for time-saving purposes. Right. I did it myself. So I was like, let me get ahead of this. I'm going to bring a wheelchair up. And they were like, why? Where did you get that? Why would you bring that wheelchair? I said, I'm just getting ahead of things. They're like, we have wheelchairs here. This is a hospital. And I was like, oh, my bad. And they just kept making fun of me.
But they don't know that that's the type of person you are. You're
I'm
always
a problem
early.
Solver.
Yeah, problem solver.
Babe.
Yeah.
Outside of Washington, D.C., so with the motorcade, when they're not in Washington, they do what has infuriated me, which is the full stop method, where they fully shut down the streets and pedestrians. Mm-hmm. Cops on motorcycles block traffic at each intersection. Not even an errant cyclist, we know, can wiggle onto the main route. And then once the entourage is passed, the cops start collapsing and letting people across. But when they're in Washington, they don't do that. Because they said people from Washington know how to handle a motorcade.
Right.
Which, what, no one's a visitor? When they're in Washington, what do? The motorcycle escorts play, quote, Moses. The first rider pushes traffic out of the middle of the road. Those behind them form a wedge, gradually knocking everyone to either curb and opening a bus-sized hole in traffic. And then through the hole goes the president of the United States.
Like the way like a fullback would.
Yeah, they just start.
Football.
I'd much prefer that.
Yeah.
Just boop.
Yeah.
Much respect. One of the stops in Biden's journey was the home of Maureen White and Steve Ratner. A fundraising dinner at their home, which was attended by Robert De Niro.
Wow.
And 50 others. Now, who is Maureen White?
It's a good question.
I Googled it.
Did you?
Yeah, of course. She's a specialist in international humanitarian affairs and a fundraiser for the DNC. She is on a lot of boards and institutes. That's literally what I wrote.
Of course.
I was probably going cross-eyed with all the boards and institutes. I'm like, I can't write this all down.
Just know it's a lot.
She served on a jury in a civil suit that Robert De Niro brought in 2011. And now she's at a fundraiser with him. And she got into trouble because another juror in that suit said that she was pressuring everyone to hurry up because, quote, there's 20 million people in Afghanistan are in trouble because I am here.
Yeah. Isn't she important?
Yeah. I think they're in trouble anyway because of what your friend Joseph has done.
Yeah.
And not just Joseph. All the guys. All the boys. Joe and the boys.
Yeah.
Of all parties. Drunk driving arrest. Now I like her more.
Right.
She what? 0.17 blood alcohol. Is that a lot or a little?
0.17 or?
Yeah, 0.17.
Yeah, 0.17 high.
That's high, right?
I believe it is. Yeah.
You think I'll be 0.17 at your party tonight?
You
should get
a
breathalyzer.
You better be, babe.
Mike's the launch. Oh, the launch. So I don't even know if our listeners know, but this podcast is on a network run by Mike called Slickback Studios.
Launching today,
which is launching today at the time of the taping. Okay. And the party is tonight.
Yeah.
And I will be 0.17.
I'll be very disappointed if you're not.
You know what, though?
Because I've never seen you like that.
I won't be like that.
Okay.
Because I did do that at a work thing one time, and it like haunted me in mentally.
For, why? What did you do?
I drank 3 espresso rondinis back to back.
Okay.
And I didn't have dinner.
But what? And what trend? Okay.
I just ran my mouth. Just ran my mouth nonstop.
Yeah, yeah.
Just talkie, talkie, talkie. Then I don't remember anything else.
Did you say anything bad?
I don't remember. But
nobody came up to you the next day and was like, Frex.
No, but I was so party, huh? I was so scared. So I started texting people like, my bad.
Really?
And they were like, totally fine. But it doesn't matter what the reality was. Like, did I do anything bad? Of course not. I mean, I would have known if I did something truly bad.
Yeah.
There would have been repercussions. But I can't handle the way I feel.
Sure.
I mean, what if I'm at this party? 0.17 blackout. 0.17 is the new reference. 0.17 blackout, and I go up to the big wigs and I start running my mouth.
I think
to the middle children. What if I go up to the middle children and start popping off?
First off, the middle children are going to be way more gone than you.
You think?
Yeah.
I love the middle children. I can't wait to see them.
We recorded with them last week, and Chris had bought Jesse. The can might still be sitting around here. He found some sort of like THC energy drink.
Yeah.
And it's got a ton of THC in it. They were both gone.
Really?
While they were recording. I don't think that they knew it was going to be that wild, but like,
wow.
They party, man. Like, good. That's the thing. The vibe of this thing, that's why I'm hoping everybody gets a little toasty.
Right.
Because this is like a quote unquote work thing.
Yeah.
This is a party, baby.
Yeah.
What would I have to do
to be uninvited from the network?
Uninvited from the network?
Like, what type of behavior would I have to exhibit tonight for you to be like, I'm not sure if I could work with you?
I don't know that exists.
I know. That's true. Isn't this a great business? There's like, oh, sorry. There's literally nothing that you could do that could make you seem unprofessional.
I'm literally thinking about it. And I thought about gun stuff. And then I was like, that'd be kind of cool, though.
Yeah, it'd be kind of cool. You know? You get in the news. You get in the Page Six.
Just like waving the thing. I'm literally trying to think.
Violence, I guess. All right. Well, then good. I'm getting fucked on that. And this is, so I'm going to your party tonight.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to the last night of my bar that I've worked at for 7 years.
Oh, yeah.
Sad.
End of an era, truly.
Truly is the end of an era. So the bar, I mean, I work there, but I feel weird. I almost don't. Mm-hmm. I work 5 hours a week, you know, for fun.
Yeah.
Because I love everybody. So, but the people I've worked for, the family that owns it, they're selling it. The sale is tomorrow. So tonight's the last night and we're drinking that place out of house and home.
Yeah.
Because...
So you're going to be, you will at some point
it's
be 0.17
be a long
tonight.
Night. Yeah.
The question is going to be, do you get 0.17 at my party?
That's why I'm like, maybe I'll, have to, I don't know. You got to pace myself.
Yeah.
And I don't like staying out late, period. So I need to be like 0.17 before midnight.
That's doable.
Oh, I know.
You can start now if you want.
Get the deuce.
The bar open over. Yeah, the deuce. Right.
No, it'll be a good night. It'll be a very good night. You know what? It's going to be a good break, and we're going to take it. See you after that. Okay? Bye-bye.
Nice.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard. Welcome back from break. I don't know if I don't have a take or anything, but I just would be remiss. That's why we have no listeners. I don't have a take. I'm neither here nor there. Neither here nor there.
The podcaster without an opinion.
The podcaster who sees everyone's point. Maybe that should be the new angle of the pod.
It's not a good angle.
No?
No, you gotta like, you know. I like what we're doing now because we get more of a taste of what you're thinking.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. But what I'm thinking is always opposing sides. It's like a magnet in there.
Yeah.
I'm going this, but also I can see this and I can also see this.
Yeah.
And that is what makes a tortured artist. Now, the Grammys. The only thing I want to say is that did you see the Tracy Chapman performance at Fast Car with Luke Combs?
Saw pieces of it.
Okay. I don't know why. Move me to tears.
You're not the only one to say that.
Okay. So let's just break this down. Yeah. If you haven't watched this, listeners, I'm not one to be recommending a live performance clips, but something about it was just brought my house down. And I think it brought the house down.
It did, yeah.
Just seeing, and it's just simple songs, no dancing. It's just Tracy with her guitar and Luke singing. And I didn't even know anything about this Luke guy, but I like him. What? I think I'm going on a country kick. I like Zach Bryan.
Country's kind of good.
I kind of get into that. Yeah. All right. So, although I can't be saying like I'm going on a country kick after I was just like, I'm joining a militia. We can't be doing all that at one time. All right. So, something about, because I remember that song from when I was younger, but then, and so when they were doing the performance, I think I was crying because I remembered my young life. Mm. But then something about the performance was also felt very new. So I was remembering, I was feeling my new life and my old life all at the same time. Mm. I think that that's, maybe that's why people.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Did you always get emotional when you would hear that song?
I always loved it. It's an emotional song. I always loved it.
Yeah.
I bought a guitar and tried to learn it. And
really?
Then I said, guitar is for losers. But I remember being like, dun, 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 dun.
Did you learn it?
Just that part. Dun, dun, yeah, dun, dun. And then I was like, I'm done with guitar.
Yeah.
I was in high school though. It might be top five songs of all time, Fast Car.
Yeah?
I think so. I mean, it's not Randy Newman, but.
Well, few things are. But it's a great song. She was very of the moment in the 90s. Yeah. That song was everywhere for a while.
But then
we
you
kids.
Hear it now and you go, it's of this moment. It's of this moment. It's about people struggling and looking for belonging. It's of every moment. That's why I think maybe top five of all time.
It's a great song. And it honestly, it's written the way that a lot of songs are not written anymore.
Because it doesn't say pop that. Because it doesn't say pop that pussy.
Right. That's right.
It doesn't say pop that pussy.
Yeah, man, that's the thing. When a song is really written that well and is that beautiful, I think that when it's like performed well, that they kind of, I guess the Grammys this year, they brought a lot of people kind of back from, back for their moment.
Yeah.
And I get it. It's hard to not get choked up. And we're at a time in our lives, I think, where we are in this in-between where there's a good amount behind us and a lot ahead of us too.
Yeah.
So.
But a lot of times I feel like as I get older, what I'm noticing is, I go, I think about what was a lot more than I think about what is happening now. And I think a lot less happens now. Mm. I don't know what that means, but I don't know. I think that when she played those opening chords and people just started cheering and she kind of teared up.
Yeah.
I think that's what started it, where I go, damn, like, I don't know. I don't remember what the discourse around her was like when she was popping. Or she got did she get the respect that she deserved at the time? Or was this like a vindication moment? I actually don't know.
I think she absolutely had a moment during the 90s.
Can you look up her net worth, please?
Yeah, I can.
From that time period, you hear so many horror stories of like artists who just got fucked. They just had a big hit and they don't own it and they didn't really make the money they should. Because after that performance, her song shot to number one and I hope she's getting some scratch.
According to
I'm scared.
Website, these things are never right, but she said it says $6 million net worth.
That's horrible. Six?
Yeah.
She didn't invest.
And you're right. Maybe she didn't own any of the.
But the although maybe it's not horrible.
Publishing or anything.
I guess saying it's horrible is insane. It's $6 million. It's pretty good. But I guess I'm just like, that song is so good that I want it to be a billion for her.
Sure.
I want it to be 50 mil.
Yeah.
And then not just that, she has Give Me One Reason to Stay Here.
Great song.
When talking about a revolution.
I mean, I can remember seeing her on stage with like Eric Clapton.
Yeah.
During that Clapton resurgence in the 90s. I think she's pretty well respected.
Does she have a happy life? This is what I'm worried about. Someone needs to speak to it. Please hit the DMs. I want to make sure she has money and a happy life, because top five songs of all time for me.
How did you have any kind of emotion to Joni Mitchell?
Okay, didn't. Got to be honest, didn't watch it.
Okay, got it. I was just curious.
I was in and out.
People were getting very emotional over the Grammys.
I know.
But, you know, yeah, I get it, Frex. It's, you know, we love Tracy Chapman here, and she looks great.
She looks happy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like the old videos of her performing that song in like the big stadiums
tortured.
And stuff? Tortured. Yeah. And I can only imagine being a young person who's maybe like a little awkward and like, I think she's like a real artist. Like, she has depth.
Yeah.
Like, she's a real ass bitch.
Right.
And to be, which comes with great sensitivity. So to be like a young kid, I don't know how old she was. Let's just say she was a young kid.
17.
Let's say.
Fuck it.
And have to get up in front of like those stadiums full of just like drunk Lollapalooza fans or whatever, and to just bare your soul, I'd be fucking quaking in my boots.
It's
shaking
very,
in my boots. What's the term? Shaking in my boots.
I think shaking and quaking. Both,
I'd be shaking and a quaking. Shaking and a quaking and a turn your ass around.
It's a very vulnerable moment. Yeah, I can't imagine. Are you a fan of Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah. Well, to an extent. That song, I'm Going Down, 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 is probably also my top 10.
Oh, love it.
Top 10.
I'm Going Down
by Bruce Springsteen, top 10.
Yeah, great.
Dancing in the Dark, of course. Now, if I saw Bruce in 10 years come back and do Dancing in the Dark, collabing with Renee Rapp, who covered it, I'd probably cry at that too. When Renee Rapp covers Dancing in the Dark and the Grammys bring Bruce Springsteen back.
Yeah.
To do the duet, I'm going to cry at that.
Yeah.
I mean, Dancing in the Dark is incredible.
Well, because he's really, like, talking about Tracy Chapman kind of being on stage in front of that stadium, being so vulnerable. He's like the king of that, where he just like,
let's put it this way.
Yeah.
He got a little bit more than $6 million.
Oh, okay? Yes.
The man lives a different life.
He lives a very different life.
He lives a different life. Okay. Yeah. He was probably at the fundraiser.
Yeah. Yes.
He was probably hanging with Biden this week.
I think he sold his catalog for $300.
Yeah. Listen, babe. Okay. It's not the same. I mean, you're not once a working man, always a working man. Okay. Right. You were a working man and we loved it, but, maybe that's something to think of. That
correction, $550 million.
Okay, there we go. So probably
gave a lot of fucking money, man.
Probably cut Biden a cool. Sorry, not Biden, the president. Probably cut the president a cool $5 million.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something that resonated emotionally. Was that when I saw Tracy, I didn't see a changed person, like an older, wiser, mature person. But I'm not like multi-billionaire. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like. Yeah. She's just a real bitch. Still.
Do you think you saw somebody at peace?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Something about her, like, she just was like, seemed just totally whole. Mm-hmm. And that was beautiful. And that guy, I'll be a fan of his now too. Because he was loving it.
Yeah, of course.
Like, and that means the world.
Yeah.
That he like really respects the song. And great voice. Big man. Love him.
I'm excited for your country era.
Thank you. Drake the Snake. Drake's big old cock was on the internet. Did you see it?
No.
No?
I didn't.
Ooh.
It was actually on the internet?
Yeah. There's a video that came, I think they might have taken it all down, but there was a video that came out of him just masturbating in a mirror.
No shit.
The biggest penis.
Really?
Yes. He'll never beat the allegations like this.
No way.
Yes.
I actually wouldn't have thought that.
You know what? But I am a fan. I might edit this out.
Okay.
Here's where we're going to come back. Coming back in, I just edited out what I said about Drake because of what happened at SNL this week.
What happened?
Michael, you need to fucking open your news app every once in a blue.
I'm busy. I'm planning parties.
All right. I had to edit out what I said about Drake because I'm a big Drake fan. And apparently people are listening to these podcasts.
Yeah.
And they're bringing it up years later. So what happened was Ayo Edebiri from The Bear was hosting SNL this past week. Hmm. J-Lo, musical guest. TMZ pops up with a clip of Ayo on a podcast 4 years ago saying, J-Lo's running the biggest scam in history. She's not even.
I did not see this.
You got to see. She's not even singing. Like Ashanti was really doing J-Lo's vocals for a lot of those big tracks that we love, etc. So TMZ pops up with the clip. Can you imagine how horrifying that is?
That's crazy.
I mean, when I tell you my blood ran cold, when I tell you like a supercut montage ran through my head of everything I said.
Yeah.
My blood ran cold. And what I heard inside scoop is that J-Lo was pissed.
She seems like the type to get pissed.
Yeah. Obviously, everyone keeps it professional. Everyone, you know, the show comes off. The show's good, blah, blah, blah. But man, I would be shitting myself. And then I thought about, yeah. And then the thing is with Io, it's like, oh, yeah, I was like 24. Of course, it's dumb to say stuff like that. And I go, Yeah, what about what I said last week?
I know.
Last week.
That's why I got off Twitter. Same sort of thing.
Twitter.
I was just like, this can only hurt me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's tough, Frex. Like, I mean, that's the thing. It used to be that, like, being on a microphone doing radio and stuff, like, that was your gig. Mm-hmm. So it didn't matter.
Right.
If you said something, because you just, that was like
but
your
job.
But now
the media is the multimedia. Everyone's multimedia.
Right.
And I've been standing for quite some time at the fork in the road.
Yeah.
Saying, going, am I going to be the commentator or am I going to be the doer?
Right.
Am I going to be the man in the arena? You know that quote? What is it? Winston Churchill? The credit goes to the man in the arena.
I'll look it up.
Like, we don't listen to the people in the stands and their opinions. The credit goes to the person in the arena.
Yeah.
What's it? You looking up? Just.
The Man in the Arena by Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, yeah. Teddy. Okay. Is it just one sentence or how long is it?
It's like an essay.
Oh, but for Christ. Okay. I thought it was a quote. I wrote it down when I was on Adderall.
Here's a brief quote.
Yes, thank you.
From Citizenship in a Republic by Teddy Roosevelt. Sometimes I have succeeded and sometimes I have failed, but always I have taken heart from what. Oh, nope, that's wrong. That might be an edit. I don't know what the hell. We should move on from this, but.
No, we're not moving on. I want the quote.
It is Teddy Roosevelt. All right. It is not the critic who counts. Yes. Not the man who points out the strong man's stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming.
I might get that shit tattooed on me. Whole thing tattooed on me. I got a big back. I got room for a lot of words.
But here's the question, Frex.
Yes.
There's more than one arena. So I think, isn't it about choosing your arena? Because would you say, we're both fans of Howard Stern.
Mm-hmm.
He's a man of the arena, is he not?
Yeah, but it's not the same because it's like, I have shows I'm trying to get made. I want to work with people. And I'm actually, in general, not a hater. In general, I'm like a fan, I would say, of most things. But then, of course, you come out with a snarky comment every now and then. I'm popping with the comments all the time.
Yeah.
Because I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
Okay? But then it's like, yeah, if you want to work with people, you really can't be commentating like this.
Yeah.
So then what do?
But I guess the question is, can you pick your spots on who you just would care about collaborating with and not?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you one thing. I don't think the president's going to work with me.
I agree with that. But like, it's such bad luck that IO
it's such
ended
bad
up
luck.
It, like on SNL with J-Lo, because it's like, what are really the chances that she would have done something else with J-Lo? Probably not high.
Right. SNL. You know?
It's just like, that is literally the worst luck you could possibly have.
Yeah. I mean, look, at the end of the day, it's like, they're both two successful women who are very talented. And does this matter? No, it's just uncomfortable. It's awkward.
Yeah.
And I don't know how old Io is, but like, I'd be shitting myself.
Yeah. Oh
my God. I'd be shitting on myself.
Yeah.
So should we scrub the podcast? Should we quit the podcast and scrub it from the internet? I don't know. Have we, like, I'm trying to think. Have I really gone off on like a celeb? I've definitely made rude comments.
No. Who have you gone
on? Like, do I really not like anyone? Not really.
I think of all the shows, personally, that I've even ever worked on, this might be the least controversial.
Really? That's
yes.
Not good. That's why our numbers are going down.
No, well, listen.
I need to start diagnosing people with autism again.
I just think that there's, I've worked with some real wild animals on the mic.
Yeah. And I'm not one of them.
No, you're not.
Now, okay, so like Bill Simmons and all these people that commentate on sports, they don't also play sports. But then you have, so the players have podcasts now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, I don't really listen to any of them, but I will. But like, do they talk shit about other players? I wonder. Probably not.
I don't
not.
Think players very rarely talk shit about other players.
Because they play with them and then they're in the business. So I think the same kind of applies here.
Simmons and Lebatard and all those guys that kind of do those sports, Michael Kay, all these guys, like, they do have to see these sports these athletes.
Right.
Like Michael Kay is in the locker room. That's the Yankees announcer. Right. Like he's got a radio show in New York and he like talks about the Yankees and stuff like that. And then he's got to go call the Yankee games. And
right.
See these guys
interesting.
And be on the plane with them. So
I wonder
it's like,
how that feels.
I'm sure players hate it.
Right.
But I mean, that's the gig, you know?
Right.
But again, to your point, it's like Michael Kay is not trying to get anything made other than like him talking about sports, you know?
Yeah.
So in that case, like if Bill Simmons was trying to get some goofy comedy made and he was just like, that movie I saw sucked,
yeah,
then yeah, it could be an issue, I guess. But, you know.
I mean, just my blood runs cold when I think of it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if I'm interested in like never saying a snarky remark again.
I think it's
you can't be all positive
impossible
all the time. It's impossible.
It. Yeah.
It's impossible.
Even, I mean, you got to think back to like the days of great interviews that people used to give. There was a time where people in Hollywood, more in print, I guess, but they would give great interviews where they completely trashed people they worked with or people, you know, that yeah. era is kind of over.
What era was that?
Probably like the 70s and the 80s, where like you would actually get people talking honestly.
Yeah, because they'd be yacked out of their face.
Probably, yeah.
Yacked to the gills.
But there was this like really, Premier Magazine was like a magazine that covered movies in the 80s and probably like into the 90s. And there's this like iconic piece about Eddie Murphy talking about John Landis, who was the director of Coming to America.
Mm-hmm.
And he just trashed him the whole time because John Landis had this catastrophe on the Twilight Zone film. Do you ever hear about this?
Yes, of course. Vic Morrow was decapitated.
Yeah, right.
Of course.
So Eddie Murphy had this like whole interview where he was like, I gave him a second chance because he fucked up his life with the Twilight Zone accident.
Yeah.
That used to happen. It doesn't really happen as much anymore.
I don't even know if we've ever trashed anyone, but next week is a new week.
Yeah.
I'll look into it.
Yeah.
NBA trade deadline just occurred. This is for the real ones only. This is for my dogs only. This is my all dog segment.
Yeah.
Speaking of all dog, Pat Bev going to Milwaukee.
I saw.
I don't know what they got back for that, but I like Pat Bev a lot.
They need him.
Now Pat Bev has a podcast.
Yeah. So is Draymond, like all these guys.
Brunson and Hart just got a podcast.
Yeah.
Speaking of our Knicks, they just traded Evan Fournier, Quentin Grimes, Evil Dante DiVincenzo, aka Michael Flynn, Malachi Flynn. They call him Evil Dante. How funny is that?
That's great.
And that random white guy, Aaron
Ryan, the kid from Villanova.
I saw a stat that he's the only player to play 20 straight games with 0 points.
Yep.
Much respect.
Yeah.
So they
I kind of liked having him on the bench, though.
He was always like, fuck
yeah. Yeah.
Three, you know, whatever. I'm like, all right, this is cool. So those four are being traded to Detroit, worst team in the league, who honestly, I bet on Detroit every single night. I hit that money line. They're bound to win one day.
Got it. That's
you know, the deal. Other thing about Detroit, their players are pretty good.
Cade Cunningham.
Jalen Duren's one of my favorite centers.
Durant, yeah.
That guy's awesome.
Yep.
You know what they say? You just got to put it all together.
That's right.
They got the pieces. They just got to put it all together.
That's basketball, baby.
So those four Knicks I mentioned are going to Detroit in exchange for Alex Burke, a.k.a. who? And Bojan Bogdanović.
Yeah.
Who's another random white. But he'll just come off the bench and score 30 points for no reason.
Yeah. So will Burks.
Unprovoked, he'll just come in and score 30 points.
Yeah.
And then go back to the bench.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Eastern European guys, that's what they do.
I think that those two guys are like really, they're Knicks.
Yeah.
They're just hard workers. That's what they seem like.
Well, Burks was on the Knicks right around the time you started getting into.
Really?
Yeah.
So why'd they trade him?
He was a free agent and he left.
The fuck does that mean?
He was on the team that lost to the Hawks in the first round of the playoffs. He was their like microwave guy, which is why they got him again. Kind of the reason why I like.
He was on the Knicks when I was watching the Knicks?
Like the first year.
I'm at my 1 year anniversary.
So then maybe it was before.
Maybe
it was the Trae Young series where everybody was like, fuck Trae Young.
No, I didn't. I wasn't in for that. Oh, you know what? I was at those games, but not.
You weren't paying attention.
Watching basketball at that time. So I was like, couldn't tell you a single person on this court. Don't care.
So he was on that team.
Okay.
And they got him back.
Got it. I am obsessed with this Knicks team.
They're awesome.
I love them. I'm so proud. I owe so many people an apology. I didn't see it. And I didn't see Jalen Brunson coming.
Yeah.
I kept being like, this guy's the number two. He's not the star. He is the star.
Yeah.
He's the mayor.
Yeah.
He's the mayor of New York City.
He's awesome, man.
But I think I only love him now because we got rid of a lot of the pieces around him that were annoying me. Mm-hmm.
Like?
RJ Barrett.
Right.
Just the unremorseful goofballs.
Yeah.
They all gotta go. I just love this team. I think that they love each other, and I love that. Draft Queens tip. I put $5 on the Knicks to win the Eastern Conference.
What does that pay out?
150.
Okay. All right. Now we're talking.
And with that, I'm going to wish you adieu. We got to go get ready for tonight. It's time to get 1.7.
1.17.
No, point 0.17.
0.17.
It's time to get 0.17.
No, we're getting 1.7.
That's dead. Thank you all for being here. We'll see you next week. I love you. Please share with a friend.
Got to
share with a friend. We got to get the numbers up. I can't anymore. Enough with the bullshit, please. Thank you.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In 2 clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and barmates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplished something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders.
Balloonists.
Bobsledders.
And big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fella the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Here you are, BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too.
Aw,
I mean, just look at the little guy.
Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.